National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Jeanette DeMello talks with J.D. Flynn. He is Chancellor of the Archdiocese of Denver, and they'll talk about Catholic identity at Catholic hospitals. In our second half, Jeanette talks with Maureen Ferguson of the Catholic Association about the latest news related to the HHS contraceptive mandate and the ramifications for Catholic institutions. This is actually a very complicated issue, and we hope to help everybody sort it out a little bit. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Jeanette DeMello, editor-in-chief of the Register. Hi, Jeanette.
Hello, Tom.
Good to have you with us today. J.D. Flynn is the Chancellor of the Archdiocese of Denver. He is a canon lawyer, and he also has a master's degree in theology. Mr. Flynn is consultor and board member to many Catholic organizations, including Endow, the St. John Vianney Theological Seminary, Crossroads Pro-Life, and the Companions of Christ Jesus. As Chancellor, he serves the Archbishop of Denver as a canonical and policy advisor. Mr. Flynn oversees special projects on behalf of the Archbishop, and he's a liaison to local and Catholic national institutions, including the Catholic Healthcare Institutions of the Archdiocese of Denver. J.D., welcome to Register Radio.
Yeah, thank you.
Hello, Mr. Flynn.
Hi, how are you, Jeanette?
Doing well. Last week, various news headlines erupted with the story, Colorado Catholic Hospital says fetus not a legal person. This headline obviously concerned many Catholics, but even the secular media saw the situation as a hypocrisy. What's the story?
Yeah, Jeanette, that's a great question. The story here began in 2006 with the unfortunate death of a woman who lived here in Colorado, in Canyon City, Colorado, Lori Stotch Hill, and the 7-month old twin sons that she was carrying. She was pregnant, and she had suffered a pulmonary embolism and went to St. Thomas More Hospital. And unfortunately, nothing was able to be done to save her life or the lives of her twins. And after she died, her family brought a lawsuit against the hospital, alleging that she had not received sufficient medical care. And in the course of that lawsuit, the hospital made an argument that in Colorado law, the unborn are not protected by law, and therefore the hospital shouldn't be held accountable for their deaths. I think the problem with that for a lot of people is that while the unborn are not a class of people who are protected by law, they ought to be. And as Catholics, we know that legal protection should extend to people before they're born, because they have human dignity and human rights even before they're born. And so I think people heard this story in the context of the Church's strong pro-life stance and were confused and couldn't understand the connection between those two seemingly contradictory lines of thinking.
And how did the Colorado bishops become involved in this story?
Sure. The story really came to light at the end of January for most people in the media, but also for the bishops. I mean, this was the first time that the bishops became aware of this issue, and so they wanted to clarify. Of course, it's not appropriate for a Catholic institution to be seeming to support laws which fail to protect the unborn, or to be making recourse to laws which fail to protect the unborn. And so the bishops reached out to Catholic Health Initiatives to get an understanding of what had happened and to find out how they could move forward. And when they did that, they met with officials of Catholic Health Initiatives who recognized the wrong of what had happened and who wanted to move forward in a way that respected the dignity of the unborn.
Sure. And earlier this week, Catholic Health Initiatives, who is overseeing this hospital, the Catholic hospital here in Colorado, Catholic Health Initiatives clearly declared in a statement that their commitment to Church's teaching that life begins at conception. How did the attorneys for one of the Catholic hospitals come to argue differently?
Sure. You know, I think it would be a very common legal argument for most attorneys to argue that if the unborn aren't protected in law, then we shouldn't be held accountable for, in this case, for example, for the death of unborn children. And first of all, it's true that the hospital provided the best possible medical care to the Stotchills, to Lori Stotchill and to her unborn sons. And so the first argument the hospital made was that they hadn't had any causality in the deaths whatsoever. And two courts said that was true. But the second argument, which I think is a common legal argument, is a problematic one, because it's unjust that the unborn are not protected by law, and so although many lawyers would make the argument that we can avail ourselves of that law, I think morally, if we know a law is unjust and fails to adequately regard the unborn as persons, then we can't make recourse to that injustice, which is what Catholic Health Initiatives recognize.
This is Jeanette DeMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking with Chancellor J.D. Flynn about Catholic identity and Catholic hospitals. J.D., this situation points to a challenge to Catholic identity in a Catholic hospital. What must Catholic hospitals do to maintain their Catholic identity?
Sure, that's a great question. You know, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has put together a set of directives for Catholic healthcare institutions, the ethical and religious directives. And they lay out the teachings of the Church on the dignity of human life from the moment of conception until natural death and the implications of that, and issues related, of course, to care of women who are pregnant and their unborn children, and to care of the elderly and the terminally ill, also to care of the indigent, the responsibility, of course, of the Church to care for the poor and the first preferential option of the Church for the poor. So the ethical and religious directives really lay out for Catholic healthcare institutions in the United States a vision for Catholic healthcare, which is informed by the ministry of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I was thinking, Jeanette, really the example par excellence of Catholicism in healthcare is Mother Teresa, right? I mean, in caring for the sick and the dying, even in very simple ways, she demonstrated what it is to give health care to people who need it.
Sure.
In a way that first and foremost cares about their salvation and cares about their eternal life. And I think that's the model for Catholic health care. But, of course, health care is a big business in the United States. With an increasingly older population, there's more need for more services at lesser cost, and those bottom line pressures can be a difficult thing for Catholic healthcare institutions to work with.
Also, they employ many non-Catholics. How does that present a challenge?
Sure. You know, Catholic hospitals employ non-Catholic doctors, non-Catholic nurses, frontline practitioners in medicine, administrators. And so the challenge, I think, for Catholic healthcare institutions is not only to set forth a body of norms and say this is what we must do as a hospital, but to help all the healthcare providers in a Catholic setting to understand what it is to provide healthcare as ministry, certainly what the limitations of that are, but more importantly, what it is to look at the wholeness of the person and even their eternal good in providing the ministry of healthcare. And so it's really an evangelical challenge for hospitals to find ways to help their staffs to serve the mission of Jesus Christ in healthcare.
This is Jeanette DeMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking with Chancellor J.D. Flynn about Catholic identity in Catholic hospitals. And J.D., who oversees the Catholic identity of a Catholic hospital?
Sure. You know, Catholic hospitals are organized in the United States in a number of different ways. And so their internal governance is overseen by the Church in different ways. But what's true about every Catholic hospital is that the local bishop, the diocesan bishop, has the opportunity and the responsibility to ensure that the ministry of health care is a ministry that's done in accord with the teachings of the Church and with full regard for the dignity of the human person, and to work with hospitals in his diocese to more fully inform their ministry with that sense of the God-given dignity of each human person.
J.D., what are Catholic hospitals doing to better promote their Catholic identity?
Yeah, Jeanette, I think a lot of Catholic hospitals in the United States have used the ethical and religious directives as an opportunity to train their staffs to develop programs of formation and catechesis about what it means to treat the person not just as a collection of ailments, but as a human person with an eternal soul. And so really, I think the ERDs have become a way to ensure that Catholic hospitals continue to be a place where the Jesus Christ can be encountered in his healing ministry. And so that's formation of the staffs, it's pastoral programming. It's also just an ongoing recognition of the value of the faith and of the providential care of God in what we do, and what hospitals do in healthcare ministry. And then I think a lot of hospitals have taken the opportunity of the ethical and religious directives to work more concretely with diocesan bishops in order to ensure that when issues like what happened here in Colorado arise, there's a dialogue with the bishops that's already begun so that the issues can be resolved best manner possible.
Sure. And the last question, you know, this last week, this, I guess, mistake that the hospital made in not keeping with the Catholic identity, the lawyers made this mistake. However, it seemed to end well. It seemed to be a teaching opportunity. Can you tell me about how it ended?
Sure. When the media reported that there had been an issue with St. Thomas More Hospital, the bishops of Colorado contacted the executives of Catholic Health Initiatives, which sponsors the hospital, and asked them to meet to come to some understanding of what had happened. And the executives of Catholic Health Initiatives met with the bishops and, in the course of a conversation, recognized that it had been morally wrong to make recourse to an unjust law and that they wanted to make some amends to it. So that included, of course, a public recognition to, I think, repair some of the confusion that was out there, or the scandal, some would say, that was out there. It also entailed, on Catholic Health Initiatives' part, a reach out to the Stodgehill family, and that's private, and I think that for the sake of the Stodgehill family, it's better to respect their privacy. But certainly there has been a desire to ensure that the church is in solidarity with the Stodgehill family as they're suffering. And so I think the clarification, I think the recognition of a mistake, I mean, the Christian life is often recognition of our shortcomings and commitment to moving forward. And with the help of the bishops and in a dialogue with the bishops, I think CHI did that in an admirable way. So it's a good resolution because that's just something that we all have to do at times. We're all in a situation where we've made a mistake.
Sure.
And we move forward.
Sure. Well, J.D. Flynn, thank you very much for being with us this morning and for the work that you do.
Well, thank you, Jeanette.
My thanks as well. When we return, a mandate means mixed messages. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Join us for the Daily Mass, celebrated each day here on EWTN.
I turned from a recreational drug user to a drug addict. That took me to my knees. I lost a family, almost two families. I lost friends. Now that I'm back in the Catholic Church, I'm a new person. I love it. I love it. My heart's there. I took communion after 18 years, and the rest of the Mass I sat and cried. God restored my life. God restored my family. God restored my love.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DiMello, I'm Tom Price. Maureen Ferguson is with us. She is Senior Policy Advisor for the Catholic Association. Previously, she was the Congressional Liaison and Spokeswoman for National Right to Life Committee. Now at the Catholic Association, Maureen has helped bring a faithful Catholic voice to the public square on really a wide range of issues, from protecting life and marriage to promoting social renewal in the culture. Now, in the past year, the Catholic Association has been speaking loudly on one of the most crucial issues of the day, which is defending religious freedom. Hey, Maureen, welcome to Register Radio.
Hello.
Hi, Maureen. It's good to have you with us today.
Hi, good to be with you.
Over the past year, more than 40 lawsuits representing 130 plaintiffs have been filed objecting to the Health and Human Services mandate that requires employers to cover all contraception, sterilization, and abortion-inducing drugs, like the morning-after pill, in their health care plans. But last week, the Obama administration responded to the growing pushback from religious institutions and religious business owners, saying, "Today the administration is taking the next step in providing women across the nation with coverage of recommended preventative care at no cost while respecting religious concerns." What was this big announcement that the Obama administration made last week?
Well, unfortunately, the administration really did not respond to the religious liberty concerns of people of faith. The announcement on Friday was really nothing new. It's what we call a nothing burger. It was really just political window dressing, which is to distract attention from the heart of this policy, which is a policy that forces people to violate the tenets of their faith or face massive, crippling government fines. And we are a country that was founded upon principles of religious liberty. People should be free to practice their faith as they see fit. And the Obama administration is just continuing to be intolerant and disrespectful of people of faith. And all that this policy announcement was on Friday was simply a repackaged kind of accounting gimmick that kind of says they're not really doing what they actually are doing. It's really the same supposed accommodation that they offered a year ago. They just made it a little bit more complicated.
Okay. So tell us, does anyone else get relief from this particular accommodation that they proposed last week?
They really don't. It's to help people understand the details of this, because the details are kind of complicated.
Sure.
You could say there are three categories of treatment that the government is giving to people of faith. Number one, actual houses of worship. So an actual church will not have to cover these objectionable products.
Okay.
But all of these affiliated organizations, like Catholic hospitals, charities, schools, universities, like the University of Notre Dame, for example.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And people need to remember that the Catholic Church is the nation's largest non-governmental provider of social services in the country, social services, health care, and education. So that's the second category, and the administration is sort of pretending to make some accommodation for that category, the religious charities and nonprofits, but in actual fact, they are not accommodating them at all. There is no opt-out for religious charities, hospitals, schools. They're simply an accounting gimmick that the administration has proposed.
Sure.
And the third category is people of faith who don't work for a religious charity, but perhaps run a family business. And many of these family-run businesses have sued the Obama administration because there's no protection whatsoever, no conscience protection whatsoever for people in a for-profit business. So if you run a family business, you don't want to give away free abortion drugs and birth control to your employees, well, you are not allowed to do that under the Obama administration. And this announcement on Friday doesn't affect that at all. The Obama administration is essentially saying, if you want to earn a living for your family, then you have to give up your conscience rights and your religious liberty, or you will face massive government fines.
This is Jeanette DeMello on Register Radio. I'm here with Maureen Ferguson, and we're talking about the contraceptive mandate. Maureen, one of the words that the administration used last week, I think to describe what they think is relief for that middle group, is standalone policies that these religious organizations would be able to take advantage of these standalone policies for their employees who might want contraceptive. But you're saying that this really isn't relief.
No, and I believe you're referring to a group, say, like EWTN, which probably self-insures specifically because they wanted to write these objectionable products out of their insurance policy. And remember, it's not just contraception. It's also sterilization, surgical
Sure.
sterilization. It's implanted, like long-term contraception, and abortion-inducing drugs like Ella. Ella is called the week after pill. It can work even up to a week after conception. So that is an abortion-inducing drug. And groups that self-insure are, again, really offered no relief because all of the employees that the employer is forced to contract with a third party that still offers these products for free. And it's just the nature of insurance that it comes through the employer. So whether you're talking about the cost of it or just the complicity in having to arrange for it, both are morally objectionable to people of faith. And, you know, the administration is just continuing to play games, and it's really unfortunate. This is not a fight we needed to have. This conflict is really totally unnecessary. There used to be a bipartisan consensus on the issue of conscience rights.
Many of the plaintiffs who have filed lawsuits are pressing forward. I know, for example, EWTN is pressing forward. Michael Warsaw put out a statement earlier this week saying that while they were reviewing this latest policy proposal, they were still pressing forward. What have you heard from other plaintiffs?
I think the vast majority of the lawsuits are going to go forward because the policy announcement last Friday that the administration is calling an accommodation, it is not any sort of accommodation. It's simply a repackaged accounting gimmick that they already offered and was rejected a year ago. So I think these lawsuits are going to go forward. And, you know, I'll give a little piece of evidence that the Obama administration is really not operating in good faith here. Because if they were, they would have sat down over the past year with all of these religious charities like Catholic Charities and the Catholic hospitals, schools, inner-city Catholic schools that are affected by this. The Obama administration would have sat down and tried to negotiate this out, try to work out an actual compromise. Well, they did not. They simply made this policy announcement on Friday. The Catholic Church had not seen this policy before it was announced publicly. You know who did? You know who was in the room when they were hammering out this new policy, this supposedly new policy?
No,
the abortion lobby.
Sure.
The abortion lobby announced their approval of this announcement even before it was publicly announced. So clearly, they were in the room when this was being hammered out and come up with. But the Catholic Church had to hear about it after it was publicly announced.
This is Jeanette DiMello on Register Radio. I'm here with Maureen Ferguson about the and we're talking about the contraceptive mandate. Maureen, just yesterday, February 7th, the USCCB issued a statement regarding this this newest policy. Can you tell me a little bit about the statement that Cardinal Dolan made?
Yes, Cardinal Dolan and the bishops, our shepherd, they really took their time. They're a very deliberative bunch. They took, I think, 6 days to study this policy to make sure they weren't having some kind of a knee-jerk reaction. They studied it very carefully, and they concluded, again, that this is essentially the same supposed accommodation that was offered a year ago and rejected a year ago because it does not solve the problem. And I'll just quote briefly from Cardinal Dolan's statement. He says, this announcement on Friday, it appears to offer second-class status to our first-class institutions in Catholic health care, Catholic education, and Catholic charities. And what it does, this announcement, is it divides actual churches from the ministries of the church. It gives an actual church an exemption, but it does not give any exemption or opt-out to the Catholic ministries, hospitals, education, and charity. And it's really, people need to kind of have some perspective. Our country was founded upon principles of religious liberty. This is so contrary to the way the American system is supposed to work. The government getting in there and defining what constitutes a religious ministry. Churches ought to define what is their religious ministry.
Sure.
The government should not be coming in defining this as a religious ministry. That's not religious. You have to violate your faith in this regard. And again, I wouldn't refer to this as a contraceptive mandate because, remember, it also includes abortion-inducing drugs. I've heard a lot of people refer to it as the abortion pill mandate.
Sure.
And in terms of having sort of big-picture perspective, why the special treatment for this class of drugs?
Sure.
In Obamacare, is your mom's blood pressure medication mandated to be offered for free from your employer? How about your child's asthma medication? How about life-saving heart medication? None of those things are mandated by the government to be given away for free. Of course not. We have co-pays for that kind of thing. So why is the Obama administration insisting that this class of drugs that can cause an early abortion, we're talking about health care, which is supposed to be saving lives.
Sure.
But yet the Obama administration is an abortion pill, which takes a life, has to be given away for free by religious employers. I mean, this is really Orwellian, and it's really just shocking that it's happening in the United States of America, and it's why it's so important for people to work to educate themselves about this issue.
Sure.
And to speak up. They should speak up to their members of Congress, because the Obama administration has shown it has a deaf ear to our concerns. So, you know, the leaders of the House of Representatives support our position on this. They respect, you know, the Republicans who control the House of Representatives respect people of faith, and people need to speak up and ask for them to push for some sort of a legislative remedy to this.
Absolutely.
Because clearly the Obama administration is not being responsive to our concerns.
And thankfully, we have our bishops who are not stopping. They say that this falls short, and they're pressing forward on behalf of all Catholics and all people of religion. Thank you so much, Maureen, for being with us today, and we look forward to those postcards. And again, thank you.
Great. Good to be with you.
Hey, Maureen, we have just a moment here before we have to let you go. Could you tell us a little bit about the Catholic Association and perhaps how people can find you online?
Sure. You can find us online at thecatholicassociation.org. You can follow us on Facebook. We've got a very active Facebook community. But please do, you know, keep yourself educated on this by checking out our website, and we provide links to other important information. And, you know, ask your pastor if they're planning on participating with this postcard campaign on the religious liberty issue. It's a life and liberty postcard campaign. Please ask your pastor if they're participating, and if not, you can offer to help. It's really simple. They'll send you a box of postcards. You sit in the back of church on Sunday, and as people are leaving, you just simply ask them to sign their name and address to a postcard. You stick stamps on them and send them in. So it's a relatively simple but very, very important project that's
great.
Coming up.
That's great. Thank you so much, Maureen, for all your time. Thanks for joining us on Register Radio.
Good to be with you.
Don't forget, you can listen to the show again by going to ncregister.com. Just look for the microphone to listen or download the show. Hey, thanks again for joining us this time on Register Radio. For all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.